you know of the Chicago Bulls and live in the Chicago Bulls.
We pass Middleton. Nico Suave.
Rod hits pass deflected. Stolen by Noah. Noah Brumley. Noah with the right hand. It's done. The count is a foul. I don't believe what I just saw.
Shut that dunk down. Access denied.
I haven't played with a player like that, you know, probably since. I think I never played with a player like that on this team.
All right. Hello, Bulls fans, and welcome to a end-of-the-season edition of the Chicago Bulls. I am your host, Mark Lewenthal. With me, as always, is the big guy, Fred Pfeiffer. And Fred, I just want to jump right into things today. I just want to say, before we haven't really talked yet about our what we want to do on today's show, and what I would really like to do is look at this season now at the end of the season, before the playoffs begin. We're going to talk about the playoffs, but I want to just look back and consider our expectations for this team, and just I want to rate various attributes of the team based upon what we expected coming in. I'm curious how you feel this season was overall, success, failure, but within the context of what I think we expected is important. Would you agree, Fred?
Yeah, I think it's important. I mean, you still got to realize they're on pace for 50 wins. It's entirely possible they're going to win 50. I've always said that's kind of like the dividing line of being a successful team or not a successful team is 50 wins. Did we expect them to have more than that? Sure. I expected them to be, you know, probably 56, somewhere between 56 and 60. But, you know, the team had a ton of injuries. A lot more than last year's team. Obviously, you know, Rose went out last year for good, but outside of Rose, there weren't a ton of huge injuries, and this team has had a ton. You know, so overall, if they end up with 50 wins, I would have to consider that a successful season, especially when you consider they really haven't had that time to gel or work together, and there's just been so much, you know, garbage on the periphery with, you know, problems with Tibbs and management and all the distractions that go along with that. Overall, I would still consider it a successful season. Anytime you can win 50 games, that you should consider that to be a massive success.
I don't know, though. I mean, I still think that coming in, you know, I mean, we didn't know what we were going to be getting with Derrick Rose. So there were certainly a lot of question marks coming into the year. And it's been a very, very interesting year. This has been, I think, one of the most tumultuous years I've ever seen as a Bulls fan. I mean, other than, like, teams that had just, like, a lot of, like, thugging on it, where it was just, like, drama in the locker room, I can't think of another team that we have presided over, that maybe the championship teams, but, like, I mean, since then, that had this much scrutiny and just bullcrap surrounding them. I mean, there were a lot of distractions this year. But I got to say, overall, I mean, I would have thought they were – I mean, my hopes were going into the year that they were going to win more than 50. I mean, a team that people thought were going to win the conference, they were far from it. And – I was listening to a radio broadcast the other day, and they were saying that they think there's only two real contenders in the East. And I got to be honest with you, Fred, do I think that things could – that the tides could turn and we could be a contending team? Maybe. But I don't think we've proven it during the regular season, and that's a disappointment to me. So, I mean, if you're going to ask me about this regular season, it could have been worse, but I think that it's on the lower echelon of what I would have wanted it to be. So I don't think I could give it more than a C, even with the injuries, because you haven't had that many injuries. I mean, you had – Rose and, you know, missed some time there. Jimmy, you had a bad patch. But, you know, as a whole, the team was relatively was okay for long stretches. And even during those stretches, they didn't prove themselves. I don't want to look at the injuries as the reason the record's not high.
I don't see – how can you possibly say that injuries didn't affect this team? You had injuries to all their major players. You know, Butler missed significant time. Rose missed significant time. You had Taj missing significant time. And Noah, although he played a lot – clearly was a shadow of himself due to injury. I don't see how you can possibly say that didn't affect the team. You can even look at McDermott, who missed, you know, significant parts of the year. I know he hasn't been a big part of this team, but injuries definitely had an effect on the team overall and the record.
Yeah, but they weren't playing that well before these players went down. That's kind of my point. If they were, then I'd be like, all right, they lost a bunch of games when these guys went down, fine. But when these guys went down, they weren't really playing that good anyway.
Step back. Let's say they win the last two. They finished year at 50-32, and they've beaten every team in the West. That's not success. I mean, probably not what we expected. You know, maybe five, six, seven short of what we expected, but I don't see how you can say that's a disappointment. Definitely, maybe the team didn't maybe underachieved a bit, but I still consider 15-32 a good record. Goodness gracious, how can you not?
I mean, look, this is a team that we wanted to be contending for a title. That was the goal, to be contending for a title, and I'm not going to say going into the playoffs that they are a title contender. I don't think that they have proved. We are doing it based on reputation. They are the only team that we are doing it, giving them maybe an automatic crown as a contender based on reputation, not based upon actual achievement. And they've lost to a lot of bad teams this year. They're off
yep.
a lot.
Yep.
And the fact that we don't have, I'm not going to be boo-hooing in my napkin here because we don't have home court advantage versus Toronto or because we don't have it against Washington. I mean, Washington schlocked us when they played us during the regular season. Besides, I think one game. I think we only won one game against them, I believe.
Against Washington?
And,
no, we played Washington fairly well this year. We looked much better against Washington than we have in the past. We destroyed them in our last game. I think, you know, no doubt we've lost to a lot of bad teams that we shouldn't have lost to. We've also beat a lot of good teams. We beat Cleveland right before the All-Star break and just absolutely hammered them. We beat San Antonio. We beat Golden State on the road. I mean, you can go up and down. Every team in the league we've beaten and had some success against.
Atlanta?
Atlanta, maybe we haven't beat Atlanta. Maybe you got me right there. We probably will in the last game of the year because we'll be playing our starters 40 minutes and they won't. But Atlanta we have not looked good against. That's correct. I don't think we have beat them. That's probably the only team in the league I can think about that we haven't beat.
Well, we beat Houston without Howard. I'm just looking right now really
yeah.
quickly at the schedule here. I mean,
yeah, but we didn't win at full strength either. I mean, we beat every team in the league. There's no – besides Atlanta, I think you're right. I mean, winning at Golden State, I mean, sure, they didn't have Bogut. I don't think in that game who were we missing. We were missing a significant player. Was it Butler, I think, we were missing at Golden State. Stepping back and calming down for a second. To say that there's only two contenders in the East, to me, is a ridiculous statement. If Rose plays anywhere near what he did against the Sixers, and he looks that healthy and that good and that quick, there's no team that we can't beat in a seven-game series. None. I'm talking
we
about the West.
Continuity. We don't have continuity.
Well, continuity will be found fairly quickly if Rose looks that good. If he can do what he does there, I'm not concerned at all. I think a lot of the lapses or a lot of the issues that the Bulls have had on the defensive end will be fixed in the playoffs. And that's primarily, you know, a reckless urgency to cover, reckless urgency to play as hard as you possibly can for 48 minutes. That wasn't there in the regular season. That better be there in the playoffs. And I think it will be there in the playoffs. And I think you should see a massive step up, especially if Rose is a looks like he did against 76ers. Did you watch any of the game on Saturday?
I saw the highlights. I was not able to. I saw very brief parts of it, but I know how he did, and he looked amazing. And seeing those highlights at the end looked amazing. I'm not happy about the 5 3-point attempts, but whatever. As a whole, I felt like the second game. So I did watch the two games previously, and I thought that second game back, he played dramatically better, even though his shot wasn't falling. He was much smarter. What was the – okay, bring me back, Fred. What were the first two games? It was Philadelphia, right?
Well, Philadelphia, they lost at Milwaukee. Did he play in that game? I'm trying to remember.
Not
was
Milwaukee.
The first game that, he lost to Orlando, right? That was the game they lost, Orlando.
Miami. He played in Miami. He didn't play very well in Miami. And then it was – no, you're right. It was Orlando was his first game back. So he's played three games.
Yeah.
He sucked in Orlando. Miami, there were bright sides. And then Philadelphia, he took over. Pretty good. Kid hasn't played in 22 games or something like that. That's impressive, Fred. I mean, I didn't expect it. Look, I look at this as kind of like Jordan's comeback year almost, where like he came back in March. Like he wasn't in basketball shape, so it'll probably be a little easier for Rose to adapt. But Rose has barely played basketball in the last 3 years, and it's just like he was just getting good when he got injured, and I just found it very unlikely that he was going to be able to just come back and make an immediate impact. Now, against Philadelphia, they suck, but they were, you know, not guarding him the way that he needs to be guarded, and hopefully he can recognize, hopefully he can start drawing some double teams and recognizing those double teams in the playoffs. I mean, the fact that the last two games, I don't think he had a turnover against Philadelphia or Miami, that's huge. I mean, like, that's all you need him is making good decisions and just attracting attention. Just play basketball and attract attention. You don't need to be the man. If you're the man, Derrick Rose, you're probably doing too much. So you're better off just playing within the confines of the offense. But that look good against Philadelphia. And I mean, how do you adapt to a player like that? That's part of my issue. He's such a commanding force. How, as a team that has really had a hard time gelling together this year, are you going to be able to adapt to this player that's different than anything else that you have on the team that hasn't played in a month? I don't know. He looks good.
It's a really interesting spot for a team right now because you got Rose, to me, who's on the ascendancy, playing really well. You got Dunleavy playing really well. You've got Taj playing really well. Taj always plays well in the playoffs. You got Gasol playing really well. And then you have, you know, a couple key guys just, I think, playing terribly. And that's Noah, who, you know, everybody loves him. He's a fantastic guy. He swears at LeBron, all those great things. He's shooting 60% from the free throw line. I don't care what you say about any other introductions of any other players. How has this guy, who for many years never was once below 70%, all of a sudden is a 60% free throw shooter? Drives me nuts. Doesn't even attempt to provide any offense anymore. And it, to me, it's a serious issue. I'm hoping he can turn around for the playoffs, but he's nowhere near approaching where he was as a defensive player of the year. And that's what you need, you know, in order for us to win it all. So I'm hopeful because I do see his activity level up, but he's at career lows for almost every offensive metric. Field goal percentage is down to 44%, which is just horrific for a guy who doesn't shoot outside of 6 feet. You know, I'm really concerned about him, and I'm concerned about Nico. I think Nico has to have lost confidence in his jumper. He's down to 40% from the field, 30% from three, and he's shot, I think, 26% from three for three straight months. And, you know, everybody out there, even smart fans who I really respect, always seem to throw this, the magic thing that will fix him is if he plays the four. Well, his advantages at the four are that he can hit the outside jumper. That's what he does, is he brings out bigger guys. And if you're shooting at a 40, 30% metric, that's not going to continue. I mean, guys are going to eventually just let you do it. And I've always said, I've maintained this for a month, that guy is not going to continue to get the foul calls that he has in March. It's just not going to happen. He had a huge percentage of his points from the free throw line. And in the playoffs, I don't expect that to continue. Therefore, I would prefer to see a little bit more of the Noah, Paw, Taj / rotation and a little bit less of Nico. I know that it's probably going to cause a riot with most fans, but I just don't expect him to – I don't see how he turns this around. He's just not shooting the ball well. I love the kid, and I think he's going to be great, and those percentages will come up as he learns how to have, you know, better shot selection, but – he's just not. He's been in a 3-month shooting slump, and nobody wants to admit it. So, Taj and to me, Paul have been playing. Gasol have been playing the best together. I think you look at that Miami game, and this has happened, you know, pretty consistently for a month. When you throw Noah and Taj together, it's just not working. I don't know, you know, why. I can't figure it out. But offensively, they've been terrible together. The second quarter, they were blown out. I think it was a 30-8 or some ridiculous number in the Heat game. Pretty much the low point for the Bulls for the season. And then the quarter three start out with Noah and Gasol, and they just start tearing it up offensively. And then you throw in to get the substitution of Taj in for Noah, and they even pick it up even more. And that third quarter was the best they've looked all season. I think it was 30-8, right? Is that the score of that quarter? I don't recall off the top of my head, but they just absolutely dominated in that Miami game. And I thought I kind of saw a switch go on there. So, you know, we'll see what happens for the playoffs. But that Gasol-Taj pairing has done really well together on the offensive end. And everybody's acting like, well, who's going to close? I mean, to me, it's simple. You save your timeouts, and for the last 2 minutes, you just basically run offense-defense. You have Gasol, Taj paired on the offensive end. Both those guys can hit the jumper. They both have great post-up games. They both will open up the floor a little bit better than Noah, who doesn't open up the floor at all anymore. And then on the defensive end, you go with Noah and Taj, who are your best defenders. It's not that hard. Shouldn't be rocket science, and I think that's what Tibbs has been doing. What say you?
And you got to go with the players that are playing the best. I mean, the fact is that I don't like pipe dreams, and I don't like sitting here saying that something's going to change. We've seen 82 games of basketball at this point. I think we know who these Chicago Bulls are. this more than any other year, do I feel like people are like making projections based upon what ifs and you know what can happen. And like, look, we can say what we want about Derrick Rose. He missed a handful of games. Maybe he comes back and he's Superman. Joakim Noah coming alive for the playoffs. It's not going to happen. I mean, this is the player that he is. He's played this way all season. Is he always going to be this way? Maybe not. I mean, maybe between this year and next year he'll figure it out. But I think this year is this is what Joakim Noah is. So come playoff time.
No, but I
disagree,
though. I think the things that he does best are all things that are kind of like energy-based. So, you know, like rotation really well, all defensively. You know, offensively, I agree with you. Well, then again, on the offensive end, that's another point I wanted to make. I don't think he's rebounded the ball as well on the offensive end. He used to be a fantastic offensive rebounder, and he's just not doing it at a high level this year. I think that could potentially change. Those energy-type plays, I think, you might see in the playoffs. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that those will happen. And that's why I think there is room for, hey, maybe this team can do something in the playoffs. I don't care what you say, 50-32 is nothing to sneeze at. If that's what they end up at, I mean, Cleveland's 51-29. They've lost two in a row. It's not like they're the greatest. They're having a fantastic, much better record. But I bet you ask now 10 people, oh, Cleveland's had a much better year than Chicago. They really haven't.
Yeah, yes. But, I mean, you're right, and you're right. They went, but they also hit way lows. I mean, they at the beginning of the year, once Varejao went down, they lost a lot of games. So they had to kind of come back and reestablish themselves. But I bet you if you look at their post-All-Star break record, it's quite a bit better than ours. And, look, it's a disappointment. I just feel like they haven't this season really shown me that this is – it's been kind of a mess the whole way through. I mean, I'm excited. I'm more excited about these playoffs than I've been any playoff in many years because – you know, we don't really know what's going to happen. It was great seeing Derek play the way that he played the other day. It's fun seeing this thing come together, and I'm enjoying watching these last couple games because I feel the urgency needs to be there, and I feel like you need to really start. These games should matter a lot more to us than they do to our opposing teams. Now, that being said, you know, we didn't look that good against Philadelphia. Now, you talk about the switch in Miami, and I was hopeful, too, after seeing them play like that. It was like, why can't they always play like this? But then you come out against Philadelphia, and even with Rose having a great game, they struggled to really dominate themselves or establish themselves in that game. So, you know, I don't know. I have not seen enough consistency. I just don't know. Like, is the playoffs going to start and all of a sudden they just start blowing teams away? I don't see it happening. Been a good year, though, and it's good seeing, you know, it's good seeing Rose doing what he's doing. It's good seeing Butler doing what he's doing, too. I'm excited for the playoffs, but I think second-round exit is what we're in store for. I don't know if we're going to beat Washington.
I disagree with that. I think the problems last year with Washington were fixed with the Gasol addition. Washington has not looked good against the Bulls this year. I don't know where you're getting at that we haven't looked. You know, we've looked a thousand times
series,
better.
Dude.
Did they win the season series? Are you sure?
I'm almost sure that they did. Here, I will look at this.
Go back and
look
it
up. But I'm telling you that I think that they won the season series, and I'm pretty sure about it.
I disagree with you there. I think. I don't think, number one, I think Nene hasn't looked anywhere near as good, and we've kind of countered what happened last year in the playoffs. They just outmanned us size-wise. I mean, Nene and Gortat got whatever they wanted on the smaller Boozer and Noah, and Tosh played really well in that playoffs, and now with the addition of Gasol, who's just a bigger guy, he's just a lot bigger. I think he's going to have a lot more problems with that length, and I think we're going to end up winning that series. I'm not worried about beating them. I really think we'll beat them this year. And if we don't, and that ends up being like a first-round loss, I mean, Washington hasn't played well. I mean, shame on Tibbs if that happens again. So, and I think
we split the season series, by the way. Split.
And he Heinrich'd us to death last year, Tibbs, too. Recall that. I mean, he was
At least he's injured now. Cool. I've never wanted a player to get injured so badly because it's just I feel like it's saving Thibodeau. Like I can't use Kirk Heinrich. What do you mean I can't use Kirk Heinrich?
Yeah, I don't want any player to be injured, including Kirk. You know, I'm not a fan, but obviously, but I don't want him to be hurt. I want Tibbs to get his head off his rear end. We don't probably win that Philadelphia game if Snell doesn't hit all those threes. And guess what? If he's not playing, he's not out there to hit those threes and shoot the ball well in the fourth quarter. So, no doubt, I think in a weird way, this injury might even help the Bulls, that he won't play and he won't have any other option but to play Snell a little bit more than Kirk.
That's bad coaching.
Well, yeah, that's why I'm not going to jump off a wall if this team loses in the first round and they fire Tibbs, because he's got to take some responsibility for this. I mean, if the team is much, I think, has underperformed from where it should have for the year. I think the team was a 55-58 win team.
Now you agree with me. That's why I gave him a C.
Well, no, I said that the whole point, but I'm still saying step back. It's still 50 wins is successful. After 50-32, that's a nice record. You lost to a lot of bad teams you shouldn't have, and you should have a little bit better record than you did. You know, but, man, that's anyhow.
So now Sheridan is reporting that Thibodeau's people, this was on ESPN the other day, Thibodeau's people are looking out at other coaching opportunities, apparently, right now, and feeding them to Tibbs. This is apparently what's happening in this. Like, at this point, Thibodeau's running his own little program over there. This is some sick stuff. It's a
shame.
What do
you mean he's running his own program? What are you talking about? What's going on?
Well, they're saying that he's looking at his people researching other coaching opportunities for next year. This is what Chris Sheridan's reporting.
Really?
Guy knows everything.
Well, I think it's kind of clear maybe that's what he's got to do, because if they don't get out of the second round, they're not going to go anywhere. So it probably makes sense for him to research those opportunities. But what else did it say? He's running his own thing over there. It seems like to me that they've kind of been working together finally, that he is kind of monitoring the minutes and he's kind of keeping it to what they suggest.
Well, I mean, you see there's comments that have been, you know, people are constantly nitpicking everything he says, and they're taking things out of context or things the Bulls say out of context. You know, you don't really know what to believe. You know, I hope that he's committed to winning right now, though I think that his time here is probably coming to an end. I hope that he's committed to winning in the short term, and that because I believe we could do something in the playoffs, but I've also believe the Bulls to me are kind of like the Clippers of the Eastern Conference. Like, it's like you haven't showed us anything to make us think. Everyone says you're a contender, but you haven't shown us anything to make us think that you're better than this so far. And they should be. With Thibodeau and the way that we've played in the past, you would think that we should be. So I don't know. I mean, I think Thibodeau's season, of the C that I gave, I think I'd give Thibodeau's season like a D. I'd give Rose probably like B minus.
Rose? No. I think 28% from three hurts him, I think. B minus, I guess, is probably a good grade now that I think about it. Yeah, I'll agree with that. You know, he's shown flashes of what he was. I don't think he's ever going to get back to the athletic freak that he was just due to the injuries, but I still think recently, you know, before the injury and now in the last game, you still see this kid can be just a terror on a basketball court, and he can make a difference. And, you know, I'm hoping that it carries over into the playoffs and that he just lets it all. I always get the feeling watching him this year that he's kind of holding back a little bit. I don't know if you get that same feeling that I do. It's just that he's not, you know, really at 120%, right, and just letting it do whatever it takes. I think you'll see that in the playoffs. I don't know do you agree with me there?
Well, I think that you've seen that he has another motor. I think that the Philadelphia game showed us that he knows how to play within the confines of how he needs to play, that he's smart, hopefully. Like, my biggest thing is that, you know, his biggest enemy so far this year has been himself in terms of just not playing his game. Is he ever going to be the player that we once saw again? Probably not, and that's, you know, sad to think about. But you see flashes of brilliance every day, and it's just like, I think he can bring it together. I mean, like, is there another level? Maybe. I mean, the fact is it looked like he played so crappy that first game back, and then the second game he was so much more control. Same with the Philadelphia game. It makes me think that, like, maybe as long as he's in control, maybe he can't get it together, and, you know, you'll have some crazy Derrick Rose back for the playoffs.
Yeah.
You need that at this point, because Mirotić is definitely you can't rely on him. We need that defensive, you know, sort of makeup that we've always had. This team is not that different than last year's team, besides the fact that Rose is playing. The team, even just, you know, Gasol, the Boozer, like, we're not that different. I mean, Gasol's better. He's an upgrade in every sort of way, but we're better than we were before, but our talent's not that different, besides the fact that Noah is colossally, seemingly, not the player that he was before.
Yeah, he isn't. He just isn't. I mean, last February in 2014, he was a force of nature. He was, you know, defensive player of the year, everything that you wanted, and he went into the playoffs and had a horrible playoffs and, you know, really hasn't looked the same to me since, like, February, March of last year. You know, the course you get glimpses, and the guy is just an awesome human being, and you love the fire, and you love everything about him, and it's clear he is a leader of the team, but he just hasn't approached his former self. Even if he doesn't, though, I really think this team is that talented that it could go on. I do. I think Gasol, you know, Gasol's been used primarily as a stretch five. They put him out in the perimeter, and it brings the big man out because he can't hit that jumper. But to me, his greatest talents are in the post. I always say something good always happens when you throw him in the post. And I think you'll see more of that in the playoffs. I think Tibbs has plans to do more of that in the playoffs. Throw it down to Gasol, let him have that traditional kind of, you know, postman game, and, you know, draw fouls and pass out of that, and then hopefully hit shots. And I think some great things could happen. They just have so many weapons. It's just a matter of harnessing the right ones at the right time and making it happen. And this is the first time, though, where I've actually, probably since, you know, 2010, his first year, Tibbs is sure, where I've actually felt confident that he does have the tools to make this happen. It's just a matter of him, you know, putting in the right ingredients at the right time. Don't have a ton of confidence he can do it, but I think it's possible.
Odds that the Chicago Bulls... Okay, we're going to do Vegas odds right now. Odds that we get out of the first round.
Mm-hmm. Odds we get out of the first round, I'd say, even if it is Washington, I'd say it's... I'd say 70%. 7 out of 10.
Okay. I'm going to say 60%.
Okay.
So, odds that they get out of the second round.
If it's not Washington, by the way, that goes up to 9 out of 10, by the way.
Agreed.
If it's Washington, 7 out of 10. Second round... Well,
if it's
Atlanta, I'd put it 50-50. If it's, Cleveland, I'd put that at 60-40 Cleveland. But I think the Bulls, you know, can beat them. I don't think they're unbeatable at all. And I think, you know, I'd put that almost like probably when I say 60-40, I'd put it more 55-45. I think they've already proven they can play with them. And in that last game, you know, miracle shot after miracle shot, he got a hand at Cleveland. They made it. You know, I thought the Bulls had Butler that game. I think Butler was missing that game, too. And, no, maybe he was in that game. They had one of their big guys out against Cleveland, didn't they?
Derrick Rose.
Yeah, it was Rose. Yeah, there you go. Rose was out. They still hung in there and did a good job. You know, I think we could beat that team, too. So I'd probably put that – what would you rank it at? I'd put 55-45 Cleveland. What would you say?
Oh, I'm going to say if we play Atlanta, I think the odds of us getting out, I'm going to put it 35%.
Really?
Getting out of the round.
Why,
dude, they've dominated this year. We have not won a game yet against Atlanta. So it's like I don't – you know, what's to make me think that they're going to beat them now? I mean, they seem to still be rolling. We haven't really rolled yet. Not saying it can't happen, but I'd probably put it around there. And then Cleveland – you know, I kind of like our matchup against Cleveland a little bit more. It just seems like Atlanta's rolling right now. We're kind of taking for granted the fact that they're the Atlanta Hawks, I think, is what I think a lot of people are doing. They've certainly shown that they're a great team. I mean, Cleveland, I think I'd put it higher, man. I think I'd say our odds, I think a 40% chance that we win that series. I think it's less than 50. I mean, they've beaten us this year. Our best player wasn't playing and just came back. So there's a lot of things. The record stands for itself. And I don't think that we have shown that we are that different than the teams that lost to Cleveland.
Yeah, the issue with Atlanta is Horford's one of the best shooting centers in basketball. And, you know, they've proven, or Tibbs has proven, you know, not having the flexibility to adjust to that. You know, it's just let him continually beat us, and if Gasol can't get out on there, which he clearly can't, and contest that jumper, you know, come what may. I'm hoping that he'll, obviously in the interim, since we were absolutely destroyed by, you know, Horford back in the day, that he's come up with something to kind of counter that. But he doesn't show a lot of flexibility to me, which just drives me nuts. And, you know, no case in point, 76ers game, Covington for them was just destroying Butler on the pick and rolls. I mean, just getting through it every time because Butler's going over that pick and roll. And Covington's getting in the lane, causing havoc, and he's 1-9 from three. Why aren't you going under the pick and roll? Let him hit that three. Let him shoot it as much as he wants and kind of attack it there. Grant was 2-10 from three. And again, you know, they're going over every pick and roll. It's just, they never go under. And you see teams constantly, when they play the Bulls, go under pick and rolls. They're daring Derek to shoot the three. We never do that, ever. Drives me nuts, you know. Everything is another thing I noticed, like the good teams always like to send out how San Antonio guards Noah. They got Duncan in the paint probably 4 feet from the basket. Do you think in a million years Tibbs would tell a guy to guard a player like that? You never see that. You always see the Bulls guarding, you know, straight up, way out, you know, 10, 15 feet out. It just drives me nuts, you know. So it'll be interesting to see in the playoffs if he's able to show a little bit more flexibility and kind of make those things happen. I hope he does.
And I hope he does, too. I don't find it likely, though. But, hey, let's see. I think this is a big one for Tom Thibodeau because I just feel like he kind of has a reputation of folding in the – I mean, our teams have kind of underperformed a little bit in the playoffs. Granted, he's had great regular seasons. You know, we're about to see what he's going to do with this one, the most talent he's had so far.
Yeah, we'll find out. We will find out, that's for sure. All right, man.
All righty, Fred. Well, good times as always, and until next time, if it ain't Bulls.
Yeah,